I mean, yes, I was recording, he stammered. But I'm not sending you to jail, Lita. I wouldn't do that to you. Why on earth should I believe you when you've been pretending to care about me this whole time? Because I do care about you, he said softly. She narrowed her eyes, unconvinced. Lita, are these yours? He went on, reaching for something on a table behind him. He held out a handful of cheap drug vials, the kind that people shot directly into their veins. Lita shook her head. I've never taken anything like that. They were in your pocket when we found you, Watt said slowly. She noticed the we, and realized that he meant himself and Nadia, and her anger flared up again. If you didn't take these, what did you take last night? I didn't mean to take anything, Lita protested. It was a girl named Mariel. She drugged me. She remembered how Mariel had bragged about slipping something in her drink. It had to be truth juice, the inhibition-reducing chattiness drug that Lita had given Watt when she convinced him to tell her about Atlas and Avery, what felt like a lifetime ago. God, talk about karmic justice. Lita had offered Mariel all her secrets, which she'd protected so carefully for so long, as casually as if she'd been remarking on the weather. She shivered, recalling the look in Mariel's eyes when she'd left Lita for dead. And that awful final thing Mariel had said about Eris. That Eris was Lita's half-sister. Could it be true? Lita wanted to explain, but for some reason she'd started crying. She wrapped her arms around herself, trying to make herself impossibly small, to contain this loud, awful grief. She was mourning everything she'd done, and everything she'd lost. She was mourning the Lita she had been long ago, before drugs and Atlas and Eris's death. She wanted to go back in time, to shake some sense into that Lita, to warn her. But that Lita was long gone. Watt's arms wrapped around her, and he pulled her close, his head tucked over her shoulder. It's okay. We'll figure it out, he assured her. Lita closed her eyes, relishing the feeling of safety, even though she knew it was temporary. You aren't sending me to jail? She asked, her voice strained. Lita, I meant what I said. I wouldn't do that. Watt swallowed. I'm falling for you.
I'm falling for you, too, Lita said quietly.
Watt leaned forward, carefully, as if still not certain whether she might hit him again, and kissed her. When they pulled apart, the winds of the ice storm tearing through Lita's mind had settled into a bright, cold clarity. She knew what she had to do. We need Rylan and Avery, she said.
I actually already had Nadia send Avery a message from you when I was really worried, Watt said, sounding a little embarrassed for hacking her contacts yet again. She didn't come.
Then it clearly wasn't urgent enough. Lita nodded and spoke aloud, sending a flicker. To Avery and Rylan, SOS, room 175. Then she looked back at Watt. We need to tell them what happened. Mariel knows.
What exactly does she know?
Watt asked quietly, and Lita hated what she had to say next. Everything. Watt glanced around the living room of their hotel suite. It was filled with pristine white furniture, fluffy white carpets, delicate white side tables, and blindingly white couches that Watt was almost nervous to sit on. Right now, Lita was nestled in the corner of the couch wearing an oversized sweater, her bare feet pulled up onto the cushions next to her. Nadia was still keeping an eye on her vitals, tracking the pulse and the curve of her throat, the temperature radiating from her slight form. He'd watched, just now, as Lita sent the SOS message to Avery and Rylan.
What's going on? He'd asked,
but she just shook her head and insisted that they wait for the other two. They need to hear this. They're involved, whether they like it or not.
Nadia sent a message across his vision, and Watt looked up at Lita. Nadia says you can take a sleeping pill later if you want. Your heart rate has evened out enough that it should be safe.
I don't take pills anymore. I haven't had a single one since that night, Lita replied, hugging a white tasseled pillow to her chest.
She looked at the spot over Watt's ear where Nadia had been implanted.
Nadia, you can talk to me directly, you know. You don't have to go through Watt.
Very well, Nadia said, through the room's internal speaker system. It made Watt jump a little. Lita noticed the movement and shrugged apologetically.
Sorry, but I'd prefer that Nadia talk aloud when I'm here, if that's okay. I know by now that if I'm dating you, I'm dating Nadia, too.
Dating, Watt mused, trying out the word to see how it fit.
He'd never dated anyone before. He didn't even know how to start.
Hopefully, Lita would need as much of a learning curve as he did.
Before he could say anything, the doorbell sounded.
Lita nodded, and the room comp allowed it to swing inward.
What happened, Lita?
Rylan asked without preamble. She was wearing a simple black gown and looked very drawn and pale.
It's a long story. I'll tell you when Avery gets here, Lita promised the other girl, sitting up a little straighter.
That might be a while.
Rylan perched on an armchair in the corner, sitting just barely on the edge of the seat, as if she might at any point change her mind and run off.
It was so late that it was almost morning. The sky seen through the curved plexiglass window was still dark, though far in the horizon Watt could make out the first tentative blush of dawn, quartz and rose and the soft gold of aged champagne. The doorbell sounded again. Watt started to go answer it, but Lita nodded once more, and Avery hurried forward into the room. Her hair tumbled riotously about her shoulders, and she was walking barefoot on the white tufted carpet, holding her delicate beaded shoes in one hand. She seemed disoriented. Watt saw Rylan shoot Avery a look sizzling with resentment, but Avery didn't pick up on it. She just ran straight to Lita and threw her arms around her friend.
Oh my God, what happened? Are you okay?
I'm fine, Avery, Lita assured her, gently shrugging off Avery's embrace. Thanks to Watt. He saved me. Avery turned her clear blue eyes to Watt, startled, and gave a tentative smile. I didn't save her for you, Watt thought. But he didn't resent Avery anymore, so he gave her a silent nod of understanding. After all, they both cared about Lita. Rylan was still staring unabashedly at Avery, her face a mask of hurt and wounded pride. Watt wondered what had happened between them.
I'm sorry I had to call you all here so late at night. But you need to know what happened, and it couldn't wait, Lita began.
The pillow was still in her lap. She kept fidgeting with the fringe, pulling at it until the pieces began to unravel.
Tonight, I was confronted by a girl named Mariel. She's out to get us. All of us.
Who is she?
Avery's flawless features creased into a frown.
Lita winced as she spoke.
I think she was Eris's girlfriend. She works as a bartender at Altitude and came here tonight as part of the catering team. Apparently she's been on some kind of vigilante quest to find out what happened the night Eris died. And I gave her exactly what she wanted.
Nadia was already working at top speed, trying to put together all the pieces of the puzzle in a complete file for Watt.
Get her to tell it all, in detail, Nadia requested, speaking directly in Watt's head now that the others were present.
Watt nodded.
Tell us from the beginning, he asked Lita. Everything you can remember.
Slowly, Lita explained how Mariel had been there tonight, standing behind a bar right when Lita was upset and alone. Watt knew why, because he'd abandoned her, and felt even more miserable at the realization. Lita told them that she'd only had one drink, but the next thing she knew, the two of them were out on the beach, and Mariel was pestering her with questions about Eris.
Found her, Nadia said, and a pic of Mariel, the official one from her ID ring, appeared on the back of Watt's eyelids. There was something familiar about her, though Watt couldn't place it.
Nadia, have we seen her before?
You ordered a drink from her at the Hudson Conservancy Ball, Nadia reminded him.
Thank God for Nadia's photographic memory. Maybe she was spying on us then, too.
Is this her? Watt asked aloud, pretending to use his contacts to send Lita the photo, since Avery and Rylan were watching.
Lita's jaw tightened in recognition.
That's her. She made a swishing motion with her wrist, and the pic projected onto one of the suite's enormous full-screen walls. Avery gasped.
I met her at Eris's grave. She stared at me like she hated me.
Lita looked down.
After Mariel drugged me and kidnapped me, she asked me how I kept you all from telling the truth. I told her all your secrets.
Her voice quavered, but she forged bravely on.
I told her what you did to Cord, Rylan.
And Avery? I'm so sorry. I told her your secret, too.
Watt glanced at Avery, waiting for a pained expression to cross her face at the reference to Atlas, but she just pursed her lips and said nothing.
Lita turned to Watt last of all.
And, Watt, I told her about Nadia.
It's okay. Watt hastened to reassure Nadia. We can figure this out.
I even told her where Nadia is, Lita finished.
Watt swallowed bravely over the horror that threatened to close up his chest. If Mariel told anyone that Nadia was in his brain, it was the end of both of them.
It wasn't your fault, Lita, he assured her.
Lita looked around the room, clearly waiting for the others to jump on her, to blame her. But neither Avery nor Rylan spoke up. Watt was surprised and glad. Maybe he wasn't the only one Lita had made peace with recently. Lita took a shaky breath.
Now Mariel thinks you all deserve to pay for Eris's death, since you helped cover it up.
I wanted to warn you because she's out for revenge, and there's nothing she won't do. She left me for dead.
Let me get this straight, Rylan interjected. This girl Mariel thinks we're all involved in the death of her ex-girlfriend, and she knows all our secrets, and she's out to make us pay?
Hearing it said like that, Watt was overcome by a terrible wave of despair. In some ways it felt like he was reliving that terrible night on the roof, that nothing had changed in the last several months, but of course that wasn't true. Everything had changed. This time they were working together, instead of attacking one another. They all looked around the room with hollow, terrified eyes. Watt kept hoping that Nadia would chime in with a suggestion, but she'd been frighteningly quiet. It wasn't a good sign.
We have to do something. Lita finally spoke into the fractured silence.
We have to get rid of her somehow.
Get rid of her? You don't mean kill her, Rylan exclaimed.
Of course Lita doesn't mean kill her, Avery interrupted, then glanced hesitantly at Lita.
Right?
Watt chimed in.
I saw what Mariel did to Lita. I know what she's capable of. We have to do something before she does something to us. We have to keep her from ruining our lives.
They all looked around the room as the import of those words sank in. Through the window, Watt saw fireworks explode into the night, the very last firework show before dawn, illuminated a searing, vicious red against the black sky.
Nadia?
He asked. But she didn't answer, and he knew with a sinking feeling what that meant. For the first time in his life, Watt had confronted her with a problem that she truly couldn't solve. Mariel. Mariel wrapped her arms tighter around herself and bent her head into the blistering wind, walking doggedly home from another of her cousin Jose's parties. She shouldn't have gone out tonight in the first place. Should have known that all it would do was stir up memories of Eris.
tender memories that hurt like a bruise, but that she still kept pressing on, because it was better to feel the pain than to feel nothing at all. She could have taken the monorail, but she liked this stretch of the East River, especially cloaked in the liquid, inky shadows of nightfall. It was nice to have a moment to herself, to be alone with her thoughts in the wide-eyed darkness. She still didn't understand what had gone so wrong in Dubai. After learning that Lita had killed Eris, Mariel had wanted nothing more than to leave Lita's life in tatters. Death was too good for Lita. She needed to watch her entire world fall apart, lose the people she loved, be locked away behind bars somewhere dark and hellish and lonely. Mariel had planted drugs on Lita and abandoned her on the beach, in a spot known only to maintenance workers and drug-ferrying gangs. Then she'd sent in an anonymous tip about her, fully expecting Lita to go to jail for possession, or at the very least, to a rehab facility so miserable that it might as well be jail. She'd been floored when Lita had arrived safely back in New York and stepped into her old life as if nothing had happened at all. Once again, the upper-floor world had flung up an invisible, impenetrable wall to keep people like Mariel out, and to protect its own. Except that it had failed to protect Eris, Mariel thought bitterly. Eris's death had been swept under the rug, just like the fact that Lita had been passed out, drugged, on a beach in Dubai. The wind picked up, sounding almost hollow and mournful as it skittered over the water to batter uselessly at the tower. It began to rain. Mariel hadn't realized it was a rain day. She rarely checked the feeds anymore, except to spy on Lita and the others. She shrugged deeper into her jacket and kept her head down, but she was already soaked to her skin. As she stumbled down the street, her mind was spinning, reliving the final conversation she'd had with Lita. Mariel half wished she'd recorded it, though she would certainly never forget it. The shock of it was branded on her mind forever. Lita had thought Eris was having an affair with her father? How could she be so willfully blind to the truth? She couldn't believe the things these highliers did to one another. Their world was a bright, dazzling whirlwind, but underneath the lights and the facade, it was harsh and unforgiving, a world of hypocrisy and callousness and cold-hearted greed. Lita had assumed the worst of Eris without asking any questions. And then she'd pushed her, accident or not, and the others had all stood there and let it happen. Mariel felt vindicated, finally knowing the truth about that night. She'd been mad with grief for so long, spinning wildly from one conspiracy theory to the next, trying to force the puzzle pieces into a narrative that made some kind of sense. When she'd seen Lita and Watt together at the Under the Sea party, had heard Watt mention the roof and that night, she'd known they were covering something up. She'd taken that catering job in Dubai, smuggling drugs there with her and the expensive truth juice, just to prove she was right. She may not have gotten her revenge, but at least she'd finally learned the truth. Now she knew exactly whom to blame. "I won't fail you again, Eris." So she'd slipped up in Dubai. It didn't matter. Mariel was nothing if not determined. Of course, she would have to tread more carefully now, since Lita would recognize her. She'd already quit her job at altitude and started planning something new. One by one, no matter how long it took, she would make all four of them pay. A flash of light exploded in the sky, startling Mariel into stillness. Lightning? This wasn't just a rainy day. It was a storm. The rain came down even harder, as if each raindrop was hurled right at Mariel with vicious intent. They exploded against the pavement in little bursts, and where they hit her body, they stung her through her flimsy jacket like sharp-edged stones. There was a shed near the water, with a tiny light glowing stubbornly through one small window. Mariel thought she heard a voice inside. Surely whoever it was would be okay with her waiting out the storm in there. She started forward, wiping the water from her eyes, as a terrible roll of thunder sounded overhead. "Hello?" Mariel tried to shout, but the thunder was angry and grinding and struck a primal terror deep into Mariel's chest. She was almost at the shed. Something slammed into Mariel from behind, hard. She staggered onto her knees, stumbling on the pavement near the water. Stars burst before her eyes, and a scream escaped her throat. But whoever, or whatever, it was hit her again, relentless. She scrabbled to grab on, but there was nothing there. She was tumbling out into the water. It was bitterly, bracingly cold. Mariel couldn't swim. She fumbled for a foothold, but the river was too deep. The rain kept falling around her, hissing angrily onto the water's turbulent surface, and she was sinking into a discordant, slippery blackness. The sky was wet and dark, and the water was wet and dark, and there was no way to tell which way was up. Mariel tried to cry out again, but the sound was lost. The water dragged her limbs down with cold, dead fingers that would never let her go. And then there was nothing more.
This is Phoebe Strohl. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Dazzling Heights by Catherine McGee. This program was produced by John Marshall Media. Executive producer, Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright 2017 by Alloy Entertainment and Catherine McGee. Production copyright 2017 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.